I'm a sucker for Mike and Gia. Hits 105.9.
Hump day is done and dusted. Wednesday in the books.
I need to reevaluate my alarm tone because I've just been so grouchy today. And it's all down to my alarm tone, apparently.
Yeah, well, that's what the science says anyway.
Yeah, there's new research out claiming that the tone that you've picked to use as your alarm could be affecting the way in which you wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll find out, depending on which you use, whether it's beneficial or negative for your waking up practices in this catch-up.
And when you hear it, change it up and see if it makes a difference.
Well, I'm going to go home and change mine to the complete opposite, because I thought I was doing the right thing because it wakes me up every morning, whatever, I'm fine, but maybe this could change your life.
Maybe I could get a nice co-host neck tomorrow morning.
There's no guarantees of that. Ever.
We had our very own tech guide join us from techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick. The coronavirus obviously still making headlines around the world, but apparently could even affect the launch of the next iPhone.
Yeah, it's not something that you would think would affect technology.
Yeah.
But that is the scale that this coronavirus apparently has. He tells us why.
Yeah. Also, Roger Corser from Dr. Doctor. Season 4 kicks off tonight. And he joined us on the show to talk all about it, because that show is filmed about an hour away in Mudgee.
It is. Yes. I'm a little bit disappointed that I just haven't seen Roger cruising the streets of the Central West.
I know, right?
He's a good looking fella.
We need the heads up which weekend he's in.
In Mudgee.
And then we'll head up there,
hang out.
Because apparently he likes to go, he says in there, they like cast and crew, they like to go for a drink on a Saturday night in Mudgee.
That's right. Maybe if anyone that downloads this catch up lives in Mudgee, you can give us the heads up if you've seen Roger out and about. Just hit us up on the Hit 105.9 Facebook page for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, this was very shocking this morning to find out that some people hear themselves in their heads. So they'll talk to themselves. You know, you finish work for the day and in your head it goes, okay, so I've still got to remember, I've got to get groceries and whatever.
Yeah.
Other people, it's dead silent.
Yeah. And I sometimes envy that, but also that would be unsettling.
Some people have no inner monologue. It's the weirdest thing to think. But we had my friend Kelly, who's studying psychology, try to break it down and help us understand why that is.
Also, you and I got really heated over a pizza ring. Yeah, like an actual like diamond ring that was shaped like a pizza.
Yeah, we get passionate over the important things.
Yeah,
clearly. Clearly.
Rock, paper, scissors,
the things
diamond
that matter
pizza ring.
Are the things that we are going to fight to the death over.
Oh, yeah. Do you wash your legs? That sort of thing. We are all about that. So you'll hear that in the catch up. Thank you so much for downloading. We will see you tomorrow.
Get up with Mike and Gia on Orange and the Central West's Hit 105.9.
Loving that new one from Dua Lipa, Physical, getting up with Mike and Gia at 6:41.
Turns out we may have been waking up wrong for ages without even realising.
Well, we get up at 4 o'clock, that's getting up wrong.
Yeah, it's a crime against humanity, isn't it, really, to have to wake up that early. But apparently the alarm tone that you pick and that you wake up to every morning will determine how you feel when you wake up.
So it's all down to the alarm?
Yeah, no matter what time of the day that you actually wake up, it is the sound and the tone that is chosen for the alarm that will determine whether you're feeling alive and vibrant and great when you wake up, or whether you're feeling lethargic and groggy and cranky.
Oh, okay, so what's the difference? So how do we make it easier for us then?
Well, according to the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology, people who like to use the like standard beep-like alarm like this.
Ooh, yep, I know that one.
They tend to feel groggier than those who wake up with more harmonious melodic tones like this.
Admittedly, that does sound like the start of a soundtrack. So, yeah, I could see that.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be those two specifically, but if you're waking up to something that's a harsh, beeping, standard idea of what an alarm clock is, that's not how you should have been doing it. That's actually making you feel really crap when you wake up.
That actually would make a lot of sense, because when you get jarred awake, you kind of get forced into that.
But I've always gone with I need to be jarred awake, because I'm such a heavy sleeper that I freak out and think, oh, if there's some pretty little tone of melody going on, I'm not going to hear it.
Right.
I need something to fully go, boom, wake up right now.
So what do you use?
This one.
Oh, God!
Like, danger, wake up now before it's too late.
Would you not wake up all your housemates with that?
Well, they've never said anything to me. They probably so I hope not. But it's just like I feel like I needed that kind of really jarring wake up now kind of noise. Otherwise, I wouldn't wake up.
I mean, there are a couple of theories the way I do it. I can either have my phone like on the other side of the room, mm-hmm. and that way it forces me to get up and turn it off.
Yeah.
Or I play it, I treat it as like a little bit of a game where like I have a song that I've chosen that it starts really soft mm-hmm. and then about like 5 to 8 seconds in, it goes really hard and I have to turn it off before it like scares me.
Oh, before it gets to the hard point.
Yeah, yeah. So I use Drowning Pool's Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. If you haven't heard it, it starts whispering like this.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
Okay, got to turn it off now. So got to turn it off.
Let the bodies
quickly.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's a little game that I need to get there before the massive drop hits.
But that's the same thing. That's a really sort of harsh noise in the morning to try to really wake you up, right?
Not really. The whispers is what wakes me up. I very rarely get to that point.
Okay, so how do the whispers feel to you? When you wake up,
do you
feel groggy or do you feel...
It's the vibration of the phone on the bed on my bedside table and the whispers is what wakes me up.
But how do you feel after you wake up?
Fine. I mean, it's 4 a.m. It's never good.
But do you feel like you feel really groggy? When you've used other alarms in the past, what have you sort of run with? Always sort of a song?
I've had that standard alarm, you know, that one that we played just before.
And how does that compare
Don't like that at all.
No, it felt bad when you woke up with that?
Yeah, I just hate hearing it now.
Okay, right. Because I've always used that really loud thing because I've always been worried about not waking up. But we would love to hear what ringtone you are running with for your alarm and whether or not this study is accurate, whether or not those harsh alarm tones make you feel worse in the morning or whether you've picked a more melodic and you feel fab.
Yeah. 13, 12, 16, what alarm are you using? And if you get involved on 13, 12, 16, we'll hook you up with a prize as well. Milky, Just the Way You Are, Hit 105.9. You're getting up with Mike and Gia, 6:51.
And a new study is suggesting that the alarm tone you choose could be ruining your whole day.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going with that standard kind of beeping alarm noise...
Like that one.
Then you are very more likely to feel groggier than those who wake up to like pretty harmonious melodies.
Yes.
So we've been doing this wrong all along. And we have asked the Hit 105.9 family how they're waking up, what tones they're using. A lot of people use songs.
Yeah, no, they sound like me. I use songs.
Yeah, nobody's using those standard iPhone tones.
No.
Like myself, I'm an idiot.
So what are some of the people using?
Well, Gordon's waking up every morning to the Ketchup song.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too harsh.
Wouldn't you just feel good when you wake up and then you hit the chorus and you're into the dance moves? Like, yeah.
I wouldn't turn it off.
I'm pumped for today.
Yeah, right?
I'm ready for
okay,
this.
No, I like that.
Well, Megan's using the Sailor Moon theme song.
Look, it's fun, but it might be a bit too aggressive first thing.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of what they're getting at, is that really intense first up noise is what could be making you cranky. So, Megan, if you're having cranky mornings, maybe the
Switch
Sailor Moon theme song's to blame.
What else we got?
Liana is waking up to Taylor Swift's Love Story.
Oh, that's nice.
That's pretty.
That's not abrasive at all.
No, you'd feel refreshed and revived waking up to that every day.
Yeah, you feel like you can see the sun rising to this song.
Yes, yeah.
I like that.
What
nice.
About this one? This one sounds like a good wake-up song. Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
It sounds abrasive straight away.
It's pretty shocking. Yeah, Josh, unfortunately, if that is what you're waking up to, that could be causing slight grogginess for you every morning.
I mean, unless they are going straight to the chorus in their songs.
Maybe, but how many ringtones do
that?
That?
Yeah, exactly.
And poor Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
He wakes up to the radio every morning listening to us.
Oh, see?
No, that's abrasive. No. That's why you're groggy. I apologise, Nathan.
I choose to think that he wakes up fresh every single day he listens to us.
Yeah, vibey and feeling ready for the day. That's what we aim for here on Hit 105.9.
From techguide.com.au, talking all things tech with Stephen Fenwick.
Join on the line right now, as always, with our tech expert from techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick. Now, Stephen, a lot of news going around at the moment about the coronavirus, but apparently it might even affect the launch of the next iPhone. How?
Yeah, well, good morning, guys. It's the coronavirus, obviously, originating in China.
And as you know, a lot of the factories and the products that we all know are built and shipped out of China. So it is having a major effect, the supply chain, all the components and everything. China is very much a very, very important part of that whole thing. And with the quarantine of various people across the country, Apple in particular have been affected. They've got quite a footprint in China in terms of all their stores, but also their major factories are also located in China. You know, hundreds of kilometres away from the Wuhan province, which is the epicentre of the virus, but because of the quarantine and just the people travelling across the country has been severely affected. All of their stores in mainland China are actually closed until the 9th of February. But what was supposed to happen, the new, more affordable iPhone was supposed to go into production this month, and that's been delayed because not only is the factories affected, but also to executives travelling from San Francisco, from Apple to China, United Airlines has actually stopped flights. So that's another effect it's having also. So this new iPhone, which they're keeping under wraps, Apple very secretive, they're not telling many people about it, but the industry kind of knows they're gearing up for the production of this phone, but it has been delayed as a result of the coronavirus.
Well, we wouldn't have known when it was coming out anyway, but because it's all under wraps, but it's sad to know that it's not going to be as soon as might have been hoped. No. Something that we don't have to wait for, though, is the Samsung Unpacked event, which is happening next week.
This is Samsung's own event where they are going to unveil their new flagship smartphones. It was a year ago in San Francisco as well. I'll be there next week. And with a lot of rumours and speculation about what they may be announcing, there is plenty of leaks and photos, and whether they're real or not, we'll find out next week. But the consistency of the rumours seems to point at a new device, the S20. Is what it's going to be called. They're up to 11 in the count, but they've decided to shoot up to 20 for the device, the naming convention there. Probably going to be three devices in that range, so a 6.4, then there'll be an S20 Plus, and then there'll be an S20 Ultra, which is like a 6.9-inch gigantic phone.
Wow.
But I think the real talk, though, the real buzz is around about their new folding device. As you know, a year ago is when we were first introduced to the Galaxy Fold. And the big rumour is that they're going to have another folding device that is slightly different to the original Fold. It's more of a clamshell phone. Mm-hmm. So a device that is pretty small but opens up to this long, big screen that allows people running Android to operate in the normal way, but then shut it down to be smaller than your wallet and put it in your pocket.
Wow.
I mean, that would be handy.
I mean, I just love how we've just circled all the way around again to now we're doing flip phones again. So
yeah, also we used to want our technology to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and now we're like, how can we make it big but also small?
Well, it's big and small, that's right. You're getting the best of both worlds there. It is big when you open it up, but then small when you fold it down. I think we're going to see a lot of folding phones. And in a month's time, there's the big Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, which I'll also be attending. That will be where I think half a dozen companies will announce a folding device of some kind.
Well, it is all the rage, and we will chat to you next week to hear whether or not all of these rumours about the Samsung event come to fruition. Our international global jet setter, Stephen Fenwick from techguide.com.au, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Guy Sebastian, Let Me Drink, Hit 105.9. You're getting up with Mike and Gia, 7:41.
You know when someone points out something to you that is just second nature in your life,
mm-hmm.
and then it finally gets pointed out as not being the standard, you're just mind blown.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's what you've done all your life. You've never known it any way different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happened when I came across a tweet that claims that not everyone has an inner monologue.
So when, like, you're thinking to yourself, you don't hear your own voice.
That's right. So what he's written is some people don't have an internal narrative. Some do, some don't. As in, some people's thoughts are like sentences that they hear in their head, while some people have abstract, nonverbal thoughts and have to actually consciously verbalize them.
Right.
And most people aren't aware that the other type of person exists. So when you're thinking, do you hear your own voice in your head?
Absolutely I do.
Good.
Yeah.
Because so do I. All the time. All I hear is this running of my own voice and all the things that I'm thinking about all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do people not have that?
Well, apparently there are people who don't have that, but then it's just how to do, so instead of that, they have to talk out their thoughts. Is that right?
Must be.
Yeah.
That must be the case, is that they never internalize their thinking process.
Mm-hmm.
They might think pictures and things, or I don't know what goes on in their head, but they just have to verbalize it. I just can't. I don't understand.
Yeah, that would be really hard for me to try to get through half this show without me thinking about what I'm doing in my head. If I had to talk out every thought I had in this studio while we're between songs and when we're in the ads, you would want to kill me.
I'm already sick of your voice now.
Clearly.
So if I had to hear that as well, it's just, don't you think that that's so crazy to think that some people just have...
They've got nothing.
Silence.
We can't talk. We can't stay silent for too long, otherwise something will kick in.
That's what's going on in people's heads, just dead silence.
Yeah.
And it is so weird to think that. I don't know. I would love to know from people of Orange and the Central West if anyone doesn't have this inner monologue.
Yeah.
Because for us, it's just incessant chatter going on up there, you know?
It does cause a headache.
So I would be really intrigued to hear if anyone here in the Central West can explain what happens in their brain if they don't have themselves talking to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So, 13, 12, 16, do you not have an internal monologue?
Yeah. Give us a call and let us know. But up next, we are going to chat to my friend Kelly, who is studying psychology, because I feel like she might be able to explain this a little more for us.
That might be helpful. Mm. Okay, we'll talk to her next. Post Malone, goodbyes. Hit 105.9. Getting up with Mike and Gia. It's 7:53.
A tweet has sent us and a good chunk of the world into a spin after claiming that some people have an internal monologue and some people don't. So that means that some people hear themselves, their own voice talking in their head like, oh, I've got to remember to do this later. All internally happens. And some people don't. It's just quiet up there, which is so hard to wrap your mind around when you have just talk happening.
I sort of envy them at some points.
That peace and quiet must be beautiful. But for us, we have the internal monologue. So we need to understand what it means to not have it. So I've invited my friend Kelly, who lives here in Orange and is studying psychology, on the phone with us right now. Now, Kelly, is this legit? Is this real?
So it is actually a thing.
What?
So there's actually five predominant ways people communicate with themselves, and inner speech is just one of them. The other ones are inner seeing, feeling, and unsymbolized thinking and sensory awareness.
Right. So what does all that mean then? If we're hearing voices, what are these people that experience these other ways actually having going on in their head?
So with feelings, it's like, you know, when you look at someone you love and it's the oxytocin being released in your brain and you just get like an overall body sensation.
Right.
And then inner seeing, you see like different pictures and things.
Okay.
Right. So is there any kind of idea as to why it is the case that people have the different things? Like, because Mike and I are both hearing voices in our heads, not in a non-creepy way.
Not telling us to start fires or anything.
But is there a reason that we are hearing a voice and other people don't?
Yeah, well, when we're born, we're not actually born with this voice in our head. So we perceive things differently. So we're predominantly perceiving things from feelings. So as we grow and our limbic system is being developed, we're feeling things and emotions and sensory awareness. And we're a lot more here and now in the present. And as kids grow in that pre-kindy area, they start this kind of outward monologue. If you've ever observed a child playing, you'll notice that they're talking to themselves a lot.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, the animal's going here, blah, blah, blah. So Watson believes that like your internal monologue is just the process of that happening internally. So it gradually becomes quieter and quieter until it becomes internal.
Right. And so people that see pictures, is it just that they were never really that verbal as a kid, so they just never internalized it?
Yeah, so there's different perspectives on that as well. So some people, it can mean a speech dysfunction, so they can have speech difficulties. It could just mean that you're more of a visual person.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for giving us the perspective on that. But you know what I've learnt, Gia, is that the brain is a very confusing thing, and and it really makes sense as to why I failed psychology in high school. Because,
oh God,
yeah,
how can you wrap your mind around that?
Yeah. The Chainsmokers, The Reaper, Hit 105.9, Getting Up with Mike and Gia, thanks to Harvey Norman Computers Orange. And tonight on Channel 9, this returns. I'm going up the country,
babe, don't you wanna go? Doctor, Doctor, it is back for season numero 4, and the star of the show, Roger Corsa, joins us right now. How you going, Roger?
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Oh, so good. Looking forward to the new season. The promos that I've seen and the imagery that I've seen alluding to what happens this season all seem to point to you going back to bad. Can you elaborate for us? How bad does it get?
Has there been promos over there? I mean, just quietly, I think they played almost too many during the tennis, don't you think? I mean, I'm sick of my own face.
No, we could never get sick of your face.
Nice to be supported by the network. Yes, we had a very conscious decision to, you know, reset Hugh. And when I say reset, it's make him fall off the wagon a bit again. Just by you know, nature of drama, you know, you've got a flawed character. And, you know, over numerous seasons, he learns all his lessons and he's got a young daughter and, you know, he slowly becomes, you know, more enlightened, which is fine in real life, but a little boring. I'm not saying we're boring, but it could, if he continues to learn lessons, it could get a bit boring. So it's a lot more fun to have him fall off the wagon. So we worked out some ways to do that. So it's been a real hoot to shoot that season.
Well, Doctor Doctor is known to be filmed in Mudgee, which is just a little bit
up the road
from us. Well, I say up the road, like an hour and a bit up the road from us.
It's not
that close enough. How much time do you actually spend out here in the Central West?
We usually go to Mudgee and some surrounding areas. We've been in Bathurst before, about during the shoot, actually, 15 weeks long, and we'll go 3 times to Mudgee, of about a week at a time, and then one of those trips will be over the weekend. So look out, Mudgee, when that happens, because we have 60 crew and cast. We'll all stay over the weekend, and Saturday night's pretty big at Mudgee that weekend. There's a few headaches on the Sunday morning. So we have a blast. So Mudgee's like a main character in our show, really.
Well, I mean, you've been playing a doctor for about 4 years now. Have people been hitting you up for medical advice?
People think that, 15 weeks a year pretending to be a doctor is a substitute for 9 years of medical school. Not. Just strangely enough. I always describe it, my mind's like a sieve, and I'll learn all these medical, you know, terms, and I'm a bit like a race caller, you know. You sort of learn the 15 horses in the race for race 1, and by race 2, you've forgotten all those horses in race 1. So that's kind of how it works for me. So I sort of, it's like I'm a goldfish, I think, you know. So no, don't come to me for medical advice.
Yeah, if you see Roger in the street in Mudgee, don't
just run the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Doctor Doctor returns tonight for its 4th season on Channel 9, and we can't wait to see it all unfold. Roger Corsa, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks.
And there's been some debate happening off air since the early hours of this morning. Mike and I came across a story about how Domino's have decided to give away a one-of-a-kind diamond-encrusted pizza ring just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Which, yes, is as crazy as it sounds.
For the fact to making it look like pizza, it's beautiful. It's for the sake
of it. It looks so tacky. It is not beautiful. Sorry.
It's for the purpose of making diamonds look like pizza, they've done an incredible job.
But why would you want to make diamonds look like pizza?
I don't know. People love pizza, Gia. People like to have fun with their food. People don't like to just drink protein shakes all day. Some people like pizza. I stand by my reaction.
It only got more intense off the air. Mike has been very unkind because he's very passionate about this pizza ring, which apparently features an 18-carat yellow and gold white base, over 1 carat of diamonds and 3 pepperoni-looking rubies.
Yes.
So it has legitimate elements of a ring.
Yeah.
And then they've gone and thrown all of those beautiful elements away and made it look like a pizza.
But the elements are still there.
Nobody wants to be proposed to with a pizza ring.
I'm not saying it's for everyone, but there is a market out there. I mean, admittedly small, depending on how quirky your relationship is, depending on if your relationship was based off of pizza somehow, I don't know. There is a market out there, I'm sure of it.
Can you imagine if you were like 85 years old and you've got your grandchildren there, they're like, that's an interesting ring. Granddad gave it to me because we love pizza. Like, what is... No.
It depends on the relationship. It depends on the person. Obviously, you are not... I would never expect you to wear a pizza ring. I wouldn't expect you to really eat pizza anyway.
Well, the majority of the Hit 105.9 Instagram audience are saying that they don't want to wear it either.
Well, yes. Like I said, it's not for everyone.
75% say that they don't want that engagement ring.
That's about what I expected, honestly, in terms of a poll.
25% of people would accept that ring.
I can't imagine they're making a lot of those rings.
No, it's one of a kind.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and if you do want to win it,
all you need is just one buyer and it's been worth it.
No, they don't buy it, they win it.
Win it, buy it, whatever. It's huge. Who's behind it, by the way? Like the jeweler, does it say?
No, probably just some random person out the back of Domino's chucking the stuff together. That's how cheap this ring looks.
Domino's
in my
have
opinion.
Diamonds and rubies?
No, but it looks like any Joe Blow could have thrown this ring together. I'm not a fan, but you know what? If it's your thing, then maybe you do want to enter and try to win this ring. I don't know.
I want Tom to give you that ring now going forward. I want
Clearly, if anyone wants to propose to Mike, that's the ring to do it with.
Not a lie there.
Got to find someone to propose to you first.
That was called for. Doozer on Hit 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that was Hit Breakfast with Mike and Gia on Orange and the Central West's Hit 105.9.